right, buenos días.
Are we ready to wrap up this sermon series? We've been doing so many like gift cards and now raffle and everything. I'm so tempted to say like, who can tell me the seven I ams? But I don't have anything to give, so so probably not worth it. I'm very excited this morning to talk about the longest amount of times Jesus mentioned the word I am was in conjunction with the light. The light is actually something that the Apostle John writes over 30 times in his letters, either his letters or the gospel. So the light, Jesus being the light of this world, it's the topic that it's most broadly talked about in the Gospel of John and in his letters. So I'm excited for us. And honestly, when I was thinking of preaching about the light, the first image that came to my mind was when I first moved to the U.S., I was living in a basement with two other roommates. Because, you know, when you arrive to a different country, you have to start from very, very zero, right? So I was actually living in a basement in a room that later I found out wasn't even a room. It was more like a closet. So it was tiny. I almost had to like open the door and get straight to bed because there was no more room to anything else. But I was like, I remember it being super dark because it was a basement, but there was a tiny window there. And I remember as soon as I walked in, I was like, okay, at least there's going to be light because even if it's a tiny window, there's going to be some light in this place. So I was super excited. I went and I remember I opened the curtains. And after that window, there was just another wall. And I was like, oh my goodness. But little by little, I started realizing, because for some reason, I would still open and close the curtains, even though it didn't make any difference. But I realized there was this tiny, tiny hole, less than half an inch, that would bring a little bit, a stream of light every day just for some minutes when the sun was aligning to that hole. And it was like a little glimpse of hope, a little glimpse of light in such a dark basement filled with bugs, by the way. And during summer season, spring season, I would realize that that little light was enough for a tiny little plant to grow just where that sunlight was showing. So it just was, when I was thinking of Jesus being the light of this world, I was thinking of that. You know, I wasn't thinking of a big light. I wasn't thinking of, and of course, Jesus is majestic and his light shines, which means it's something big. But I was thinking of those moments when it may feel like it's really, really dark, when it may feel like really unknown. Like the way I felt at that moment was like, oh my gosh, I just moved to a new country and I used to live at my parents' house and now I live in a basement and I don't have transportation and I don't know where to go and I don't know how to run things. And for some reason, and that tiny light in the basement, little hole in the window, would bring so much hope to me. And I think that's what Jesus is. In a moment of so much darkness, a little light is enough. A little light is enough to make a difference. And in John 8:12, Jesus makes that affirmation that pretty much does have the same effect as that light in my basement room had. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will have the light of life. Let those words sink in for a second. How incredibly impactful that is for our lives today, for our Savior to say, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, whoever, by the way, it's open, whoever, not those who behave well, not those who come to church, not those who are following exactly what I'm saying. No, anyone is welcome to follow me. And if you follow me, trust me that you will never again walk in darkness. That just brings so much hope to whatever darkness means in our lives. And we'll get into it a little bit more. So as I was mentioning, the disciple John talks about Jesus being the light multiple times. And he actually opens the gospel by explaining that. In John 1, verses 1 to 5, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, and I think we have the verses, if you guys can put them, please. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were created. And nothing, I know that really well in Spanish. It's taking me some time to translate it. And everything was made, and nothing was made that has not been made by him. He is the light of this world. And nothing has been created without him. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If there is one word, if there's one phrase I want you to go home with today, bearing in mind is, I don't know specifically what is the darkness, what darkness means in your life right now. For some people, it may mean a hard time, stubborn sin, an illness, a diagnosis, violence, financial struggle. All of the above. I don't know what darkness means, but in your life right now, but I want you to go home knowing this for a fact, that light shines in darkness, and that darkness has not overcome light. That is the hope that you and I have, to know that no matter what we are going through, it is not going to overcome Jesus. Jesus' light overcomes whatever darkness is in your life. And that just brings so much hope. I feel like that's the hope we need to hear about today. But why do we need light? That's a fair question to ask, right? You may be wondering, like, all right, Jesus is the light. The light overcomes darkness. You know, darkness does not overcome light. Okay, we get it. But why do we really need light? And I feel like that's a question that we should ask ourselves, and it's okay that we ask it, because sometimes we think it's all good. You know, if we're all just positive and we just focus on the good stuff, you know, if we don't think about it, then it's great, you know. And I do feel like it does come from a good heart to believe, like, just keep going, just don't look at the negative, just keep looking at the positive, just keep having good energy, you know, like all those things. But let me tell you something. The reason we need light, you and I need light desperately, desperately, it's because of sin. Because sin has separated us from the presence of God. We don't like to talk about that. Because again, we want to be happy, we want to think about the positive side, we want to think like, yes, Jesus is the light, then yay, let's just keep it at that. But for there to be light and for the light to shine, there actually needs to be darkness. If there wasn't so much darkness, there wouldn't be a need for light. Back to my example of the basement when I first arrived, I wouldn't have realized that tiny glimpse of air or of light if the room wouldn't have been so incredibly dark. I would have just never realized. If it was in a regular room filled with windows, I wouldn't have thought like, oh, but do you see that hole where that specific light is coming from? But the reason I knew was because I was desperate for light. And it is in that darkness that Jesus shines the most. And it is in that darkness that I want you to understand that you are in right now and I am in right now. Whether we recognize it or not, sin has separated us. The sin has separated you from the presence of God and has separated me from the presence of God. And we see this in Genesis 3. You know, in Genesis 1, when creation happens and God calls everything good over and over again, he created the light, he separated it from the darkness, and all these things, he starts creating and creating, he calls it good, it is good, it is good, it is good, as he's creating Eden. And in that state where we lived in Eden, everything was flourishing in a perfect way. We were in a perfect relationship. You and I had no issues with God. We were in perfect relationship with our Creator. We were in a perfect relationship with everything around us and among us as well. But then the serpent came in Genesis 3, the deceiver. And this is what happens. In Genesis 3, verse 2, we have this encounter between the serpent and the woman. And this is the reason I'm bringing it all the way here, is because we need to know what darkness is about for us to enjoy the light that is given to us as a present. If we don't understand the depth of the darkness we're in, we're not going to appreciate, we're not even going to realize of the need of light in our lives, which is Jesus. So the woman said to the serpent, if you know the story, God said pretty much, you can eat from anything you want here except from this tree. And what did they do? They eat it. They eat from that tree. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit. We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, this is God's affirmation, God's guidance, you must not eat from the fruit. You must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. What is the serpent's answer to that? Verse 4, you will not certainly die. In other words, God is a liar. That's another way to say God's lying to you. He said you would die. Oh, you certainly won't die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that is the moment all that God had created, all that state of what we call shalom, completeness, fullness, flourishing, perfect relationship. Everything is fine. Everything is good. Everything is very, very good, actually. There's a before and an after that. And because we are tempted, we go to disobey God's command. And we pretty much call him a liar. The serpent deceived us from that moment, saying, oh, God said this, but honestly, certainly, no, that is not what is going to happen. And that's when sin came into the world. And that's why you and I don't know if that's a cultural thing here, but I know it is in Latin America that when there's babies, aunts and grandmas, because they love the baby, they would always say like, oh, it's an angel. There's no sin. There's nothing wrong. It's like perfect. You know, they learned that from us, the parents. I've heard that over and over again. And the Bible tells us different. It's like, no, unfortunately, because of the fall of humanity, we're all born with that seed of being drawn to sin. We need a savior. We need redemption. So again, if you don't know where you're coming from, if you don't know how much darkness surrounds you, you won't understand the need of light. And then you will hear something like Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. You'll be like, great, but there's also other lights, right? Or it's not really that dark, right? And it's like, no, you need this light. You need this light. And today, in many ways, we still call God a liar. Even though we won't say those words, we still tell him that we know better. He still tells us what is best for us, and we still tell him, no, but you know, I know how to lead my family better than you would teach me, God. No, God, I know how to lead my marriage better than what you would tell me, or how to be a father, or how to be a good neighbor. I know better, God. You're lying because I know better. And that is the same deceit that the serpent had on the woman, to say, you know, God said that to you, but he actually lied to you. And we still believe it until today. We think we're in control. We want to run our lives because we think we have, even if we have a good idea, a good intention about that, but it's still deceiving. It's still deceiving. We need a light. We need a savior. We need that. So humanity dwells in darkness due to sin, which means it is desperate in desperate need for redemption. It is in desperate need of a light. The Bible tells us in John 3, 19 and 20, this is the verdict. Now check that out. It doesn't say this is an opinion, this is a possibility, you know, there's a 50-50, 70-30. No, this is a verdict. A verdict is a decision on a disputed issue. A verdict is when they say guilty, you know, or not guilty. It's a decision based on the facts by someone, in this case a judge, that knows what the truth actually is. And he says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. So light has been available, what I was mentioning, so that anyone who wants to follow Jesus, right, will not walk in darkness again. So he says, light has come into this world, but the verdict, the sad truth, is that people love darkness instead of light. The Bible tells us that Jesus came into this world, but that you and I prefer darkness instead of him. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Bingo, we found out why we resist the light. Because we fear to be exposed. Who wants to be exposed anyway? It's scary. What if we could read each other's mind and know exactly what we're thinking, exactly what is going through our minds, exactly what is going on? I imagine when they put in the internet those videos of the body cam in police. And I was mentioning this long time ago. I was like, wow, that's rough because we all make mistakes. Obviously, some are worse than others. But can you imagine having a body cam anywhere you go in your job? I'm sure we would all be like walking on eggshells. It's like, I don't want, like, what if I drop something? And, you know, it's like any mistake, it's recorded. And what this is saying, you know, we don't like light. You and I prefer darkness, and we don't like light because light exposes things. So it's like you and I actually prefer to be blindfolded than to be able to see completely clear. I don't know if you've seen in the internet, sometimes I get like really funny videos, but there's some challenges of people who get blindfolded and they get pranked into believing like, oh, we're taking you on a platform really, really high and you're about to jump. So they're like blindfolded and they don't know, and they make them believe that they are going super high and they're actually like probably this high. And they're like, okay, you need to jump. And then they're terrified because they cannot see what's going on. And it's all a prank. And when they jump, they're like mad because they're like, oh my gosh, you pranked me. Like I was jumping from like bungee jumping or something. It's just like right there. And there's so many pranks in the internet of what it looks like to be blindfolded, unable to see, and how that distorts reality. I don't know if you guys have seen that. And also, and I have a video about this, there is this type of what I would call being virtually blindfolded, which is the virtual reality, like, what is it? Glasses, gadgets, I don't know, that make you believe a reality that is very different than what you're actually going through. Check that out, because I wanna show you how that is relevant to what we're learning today.
Should I just
run and
jump up?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so I can.
Try getting up.
There's no way I'm getting up.
Do you need help?
Please, babe,
at least help.
I
can't.
Okay.
Oh my God!
Oh. We're all like, when you see someone using that, you're like, seriously? And they're like so into it, right? That, for me, it's a type of blindfoldness, is that a word? Okay, a blindfoldness that distorts your reality. So it you're actually blind because you're not seeing the reality, but it's making you believe that you are. Did you see that man that was terrified walking or dragging basically on a beam? Because he thought that if he fell, he was going to die. And it's like, no, the reality is a different one. but you're blindfolded to believe something different. So when the Bible says that we prefer darkness than light, for me it's for us to prefer to wear that rather than live in reality. And then it happens that we punch the wrong person because we think that that's what's supposed to happen. And then we're scared of altitude. And it's like, no, it's in reality, that's not what's happening. And we get deceived into believing something else. So the Bible tells us that there is a choice. There is a choice, darkness or light. Now, you and I don't get asked that question often. I don't know if you wake up. I don't. I don't wake up and I think, okay, do I choose darkness or do I choose light today? I don't. But I still have to make that choice whether I ask myself that question. I constantly have to go through that question. If I'm driving, if I'm talking to someone, if I'm working, how I'm doing my finances, how's my prayer life? It's a constant choice that we're making, whether we are consciously making it or not. We are asking ourselves, what is the choice? Do I choose darkness or do I choose light? And honestly, guys, that decision between light and darkness, it's more than merely a decision. It actually exposes what's in our hearts. It's way deeper than that. Way, way, way deeper than that. I was talking to a good friend the other day, and she was talking to me about her perfect life. And in her view, everything would be perfect if she just won the lottery. And literally she came explaining, like, well, this would happen, and that would be happy, and then I could do this, and I could do that, I could do that. So in her mind, it was like, until that happens, I'm not in light, pretty much. Like, I'm still struggling. Things are still accommodating. It's like, wow, it's so interesting to hear that. And honestly, who would refuse a couple $1,000,000? I'm not saying that's not something anyone would not enjoy. It would solve a couple problems or more. But we constantly think, oh, if this happened or that happened or that happened, and we're actually making those choices of we're thinking what is darkness and what is light. And that is the choice that you and I have to make every single day. This metaphor of, or this idea of verdict, actually, of Jesus saying he's the light of this world says so much about our Savior, about who he is. Light. What does light do in our lives? Light brings clarity. Light reveals what was once hidden. Again, exposure. Guides our steps in the right path. Jesus being the light of this world means that he brings darkness to he brings light to the darkest corners in our lives. Things that we don't want anyone to know, anyone to see, including us. It exposes our fears, our doubts, our pains, our stubborn sin. In his presence, we are forgiven. All these things are exposed for forgiveness, for restoration. Yet we prefer darkness. So what does that say about us? Now we heard about what does Jesus being the light of the world means about our Savior. But what does it mean about us that we pick darkness? When we walk in darkness, we're walking away from light, which means we're walking away from Jesus. Every time we choose darkness, we choose something different than Jesus. We prefer to be lost than to feel exposed. And let me tell you why I really believe we do that. After Adam and Eve, back to the Garden of Eden, after they sinned, because they actually grabbed the fruit and ate it, and they started blaming each other and the serpent and whatnot. After all of that, it says their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. And once they realized they were naked, they felt shame, so they hid. And I think that same shame is what the devil uses with you and I to trick us, to deceive us, to tell us in our minds that if you come to the light, you're going to be so exposed that it's going to be super shameful. What would people think if they know you've been doing that last night, if you've been watching that last night? What would people think if they knew how much red lights you just keep pressing the gas, or how your driving skills go and you just cuss at people in the traffic? What would people think if you've been dishonest at work? Why would you want those things exposed? Those are the deceiving lies that the devil places in our minds, saying, what would people think? You should be ashamed of yourself for what you're doing. And what Jesus actually does is say, come to me. Come for the truth to be known. Come to me for forgiveness. You need guidance. You need salvation. You need rescue. You need a north to go to. And if you hide it, you're choosing darkness. So again, the devil uses shame and makes us believe that if we bring things to the light, for example, the rocks that we placed during Easter, the devil will use those things to say like, oh, seriously? So you placed that rock? Oh, what if people can tell your handwriting, you know, and they start looking at the connect cards to see whose handwriting that is, and they find out that, oh, you've been struggling with finances? Ooh. The devil will do those things. But Jesus will say, like, I'm so glad you brought it. I already knew, but I'm so glad you brought it, because that was burdening you and it's not meant for you to carry. Bring it to me. Bring it to the light. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Adam and Eve get asked by God when they hide. It says, like, God went to the... He was walking in the garden, and he says, where are you? And they're, like, hiding, right? They're like, well, you know, just trying not to, you know, pasar desapercibidos. I don't know how to say that in English. Just hiding. They're just hiding. Disappear. Do you think God didn't know already where they were? It's God. He's asking, where are you, for them to figure out in their hearts, yes, where am I? What happened? What did I just do? He already knew, as much as he already knows what you're about to bring to the light. He already knows that. So when he asks you, where are you? It's not because God lost track of you. It's like, oh, where are you? You know, no. It's for you to find out, yeah, where am I doing this? Why? Why do I keep this still in darkness? It's a question for your heart, not for God's awareness of where you are. Sometimes we act, and this reminded me of my nephew. We took him to his first dentist appointment when he was just a toddler. And he was so scared, even though the dentist was amazing. And he just, you know, they were like, all right, it's time for you to show us your teeth. And he just covered his mouth, and he was like, teeth hiding, hiding. And he thought in his toddler mind that by him doing that, the dentist would be like, oh, okay, you know, now that they're hiding, you know, I can obviously not see them, so I cannot get you checked. And, you know, in his mind, he did that. And the dentist knew, like, oh, if you move your hand, you know, if you open your mouth, I know your teeth are exactly there. It's funny, but we do that with God. You know, hey, how about that sin, Misha? We've been, you know, we've been talking a lot about that. Hiding. You know, I don't want you to see it, God. Oh, hiding. How many times do we do that with our sin? And just as Adam and Eve were asked, where are you? He already knows where are you. He already knows what those dark corners in your soul are. And he wants so desperately for you to go to the light, for you to take that to him. This morning, I wanted to talk to you about lighthouses, something that came to my mind so much when I was thinking of Jesus as the light of this world. Lighthouses serve to warn mariners of dangerous shallows and terrifying rocky coasts, and they help guide vessels safely into in and out of harbors. So when the at night, the sea would get extremely dark. Extremely dark. You know, I cannot even imagine. I've never been on a ship. The closest I've been is the Ruth Bell from Samaritan's Purse that does a route of with Dr. Oh, sorry, English. I cannot wait to preach in Spanish, I swear. they bring medical missionaries for the Amazon. In places where there's no road to drive, they literally place the boat that goes town to town. So I was translating for them. And at night, guys, it was, you cannot even see your hand. And this is a river. And I remember it being so dark that the captain would have to say, we just have to anchor ourselves here because I don't know where I'm going. Although the river has a route in the sea, it's just water, right? Still, it's so dark that you cannot see. So I cannot even imagine how in that extremely dark night in the sea, unless there was a lighthouse, ships would get in huge, huge trouble with rocks, with storms, with harbors, not knowing where to go. And that's why lighthouses exist. And I wanted you to imagine something. So I was going to ask you, if you don't mind closing your eyes and imagining what I'm about to tell you. Si pueden cerrar los ojos e imaginarse lo que voy a decir en este momento. Imagine a stormy night at sea. The waves crash against the rocks, threatening to devour any ship that dares to sail. In the midst of the tempest, imagine a towering lighthouse perched upon a rugged cliff, steadfast and unwavering against the forces of nature. Its foundation firmly grounded, it stands as a symbol of strength and guidance. As the storm rages on, the lighthouse shines its brilliant light, piercing through the darkness, illuminating the way for weary sailors, guiding them to safety. The light from the lighthouse cuts through the thick fog and rain, offering a glimmer of hope to those lost at sea. Its powerful beam sweeps across the horizon, creating a path of reassurance amidst the chaos. With every rotation of the lighthouse's beam, it provides sailors with a sense of direction, a reminder that they are not alone, that there is a way to safety. You may open your eyes. Similarly to what I was saying, Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world as a guiding light for humanity. In the depths of a storm in our lives, in our struggles, when the darkness of sin, of illness, of brokenness, of a falling world sinks in and threatens to overwhelm us, he stands like that lighthouse. When it gets darker, the light shines brighter and brighter. He emerges as a beacon of hope. Just as that lighthouse, it stands immovable and tall, steadfast and unchanging. In the darkness, in the darkest, darkest, darkest place of our lives, offers guidance and salvation, unwavering direction, refuge, and leads us to a shore of salvation. Church, we don't have to pick darkness. You and I don't have to pick darkness. It is safe to go to the light. It is safe for things to get exposed. Because you know what? When things get exposed in the light of Jesus, they get exposed for a rescue. 1 Colossians 1:13 says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You and I have been dominated by darkness. And he has come to expose that for what? To condemn us, to punish us, to shame us, to make us feel bad? No. To rescue us. And you've already been rescued, by the way. The lighthouse If you're in the middle of a storm, which you are because it's life, you know, you and I are going through one storm or another. Maybe the same, maybe different, maybe more, maybe less, but you are going through something because you live in a fallen world. And if not, if it seems like it's a season where everything's going well, let me tell you, you're still sinning. So you still need the light. And in the middle of that, he says, he has rescued us already. The light is already on in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the waves, in the middle of this darkness that you may be in. He has already rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you to the kingdom of the Son he loves. You've been rescued. Isn't that great news? Wouldn't you want to go to that type of light? Isn't it way better than to think, okay, I either stay in darkness or I either, you know, and think everything's fine and just kind of tell, you know, hiding, or I just avoid light. You know, I know my brokenness. I know I'm in the darkness. I know I'm losing, you know, track of this ship and I don't even know where I am, but I've got it. You know, fake it until you make it. Doesn't work. Does not work with the gospel. You will not be able to make it by yourself. Your ship will wreck. You need that light. So he shines in our brokenness, in our deepest secret storms, that so they can be exposed for what? For rescue, for salvation, for redemption, for healing, not for condemnation. So don't you dare to call yourself captain of your own ship, of your own boat, and say if the ship sinks, then the captain sinks with it, you know, because it's my pride, you know, like as long as people don't know, it's fine. Don't you dare to do that. It's not worth it. Go to the light. Let yourself be guided by the light of Jesus. I would like to invite the worship team to come back here and for us to start thinking that, you know, just as the rocks, and we're kind of closing the sermon series today, which we started as a response to the rocks that we placed here on Good Friday, which are so heavy for us and are wearing us down. And whether you place something or not, you have rocks that you're carrying. And somehow placing them in the cross meant you're ready. You're ready to say, this is enough. I can't deal with that. But I know the one that can. There's no sin small enough. There's no sickness big enough that could not be brought to the light of the one that's able to heal, to restore, to save your soul. Jesus is the light of the world. Let his light shine. Let his light shine. Go to Jesus. Don't go to any other lights. This world is packed. I wish it was just darkness and the light. But in reality, that's what it is. But you know what? The deceiving part that Satan uses is that he will also bring other lights and make you believe, oh, this is the path that you need to follow, you know? If you are struggling with this, you just need to do these 10 steps. You need to read this book about, you know, personal development and you'll be fine. Oh, you just need to stop. I was like, oh, okay, I wasn't thinking of that. You know, I didn't think of that. If I was sinning, then I just need to stop. Okay, then that's that. You can't. You can't. Oh, if you're sick, then you just need to pray more. Okay, let's bring it more to God. But he's the biggest healer, Jehovah Rapha. He's the one that we bring stuff to. So don't you let yourself be blinded by other lights. Don't you put that sort of virtual reality, spiritual virtual reality, to believe, oh, if I'm wearing this, then okay, if I'm doing this, then God and I must be good, you know, we must be in a close relationship, you know, I come to church and I do this and I do that, then we must be good. you know, there's so many things that you could be doing that are good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're bringing yourself to the light. You could still be wanting to be the same captain of your own ship. And today is an opportunity for us to let those things go and bring them to the light. I don't know what's making you weary. I don't know what the storm in your life is. But I can assure you there's a storm happening or a storm in the way or a storm has just passed, because life is like that. So don't you let yourself be deceived like Adam and Eve were, to believe, oh, you better hide that because that's too ugly. You know, church people don't do that. Church people don't think that. Church people don't behave like that. Church people don't struggle with that. That is a lie. We are human beings in need of a redemption, of a redeemer. So bring that to the light where there is forgiveness, where there's rescue, where there's salvation, where there's no space to shame, only space for refuge. If you're in the middle of your sea and it's getting pretty dark and you're done with that, maybe it's time to go to the light. Maybe it's time to go to the light. The saddest part of all this message in the Bible is that right after Jesus said that, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but we'll have life, is that the answer for that from the Pharisees right after that was like, your testimony doesn't sound right, so we're just not going to believe it. It's like, they missed out. But you know what? We can spend so much time thinking, oh, those Pharisees, they were so lost. But you know, there's a chance that if they were next to Jesus, audibly hearing from Jesus, learning from Jesus, hearing firsthand say, I am the light of the world, and they miss out, there's a chance you and I can miss out on that too. Because we're not any better. So I don't want you to miss out. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to live another day thinking, I've got this. You know, no matter what comes, I just need to stay positive and still continue to control my ship. No. Let's go to the light, church. Let's bring things to the light. His light is shining. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Follow his light and no other, church. Let's stand up and respond in worship. And if there's anything we could pray for you, anything you want to bring here in the altar, you know the altar is always open. You can also respond from your seat. But if for any reason it will be helpful for you to come and receive prayer, Cindy and I will be here up front. If not, just all those things that God is showing you today that are in your heart that you have been keeping in darkness, take this chance and bring it to the light. Trust me, you will not regret it. Give it to Jesus. Let him transform that.